Assalamu alaikum, God willing. Today we're going to continue on the conversation we had from the last discussion in regards to kings and queens on earth. I really value this topic, and I think it's profound, and if we can truly grasp it and have it resonate with us, inshallah, make us all more appreciative and happy in our day-to-day. And I got a simple question to start with. And the question is, can you make a peanut butter jelly sandwich? And are you sure you know how to make a peanut butter jelly sandwich? Now, this seems like a very trivial question. You go, of course. I go to the store, I pick up some peanut butter, I pick up some jelly, some bread, slap them together, and I'm done. But how do you make the bread, right? Because I didn't say, can you go to the store and get one? I asked, can you make one? Do you know how to basically process, grow the wheat, let alone process the wheat into to bread? I don't. I might be able to find out, right? Do you know how to grow the peanuts? Like, what climates do they grow in? What nutrients do they need? How do you process them into from peanuts to peanut butter? You know, do you just smash them together? Do you add ingredients to it? I don't know. And you can take it one step further. You know, what about the berries? Like, what conditions do the berries grow in? You know, do we think about even take it one step further? How do the plants? Where do you know, how does that operation happen? When you put this dead piece of wood into the ground and somehow you magically spray water on it and berries grow out, right? And they're bright colored, red and blue. And you wonder, you look at the soil, you said, where did these colors come from? Do we know how that process takes place? Have we thought about, you know, what goes into making these ingredients? You know, there's a joke. It says, The human being, they go to God and they say, look, we can create everything. You know, we have all this technology and stuff. And he says, well, can you create a human? And they say, okay. And they go grab some items. Says, no. Go grab your own items, right? I mean, this concept of how to even make the most basic of the periodic table, the elements, you know, is absolutely perplexing to us. You know, a lot of the elements, they originated during the Big Bang. You know, can we replicate that? Do we know what it takes to make planetary bodies, plate tectonics? You know, in the Quran, it actually cites this as a parable in chapter 22, verse 73. It reads, O people, here's a parable that you must ponder carefully. The idols you set up beside God can never create a fly, even if they banded together to do so. Furthermore, if the fly steals anything from them, they cannot recover it. Weak is the pursuer and the pursued. You know, in this parable, it's talking about the fly. But what about the bee, right? The humble bee that's used to pollinate so many of our crops. and now with the population decline that's been going on for a number of years now, they're looking at alternatives. They say, look, if bees are wiped out, what do we have as far as alternatives? In China, they actually have human bee pollinators. They go and they pollinate the plants so they can grow the fruit that they need. And this is crazy. I mean, God created these. He put these out there, these tools for us, so we can basically grow our what we need and produce it. Now, let's put this aside. You say, okay, you can grow the wheat, you can grow the berries. Let's not look at, you know, the DNA sequences that it took to create these products. You know, you can grow make the bread and everything. But can you really do it better than what you can go to the store and pick up? You know, you can get Smucker's, you can get Jiffy, you can get organic, you name it, right? So much selection. I mean, heck, if you don't even want to make it separate, there's jars now that combine both the peanut butter and the jelly, you know, crunchy, smooth, whatever you want. And you just go in there and you pick it up and it's perfect. And you slap it on a piece of bread, you know, you name organic bread, you can get ones with all kinds of nuts and raisins and wheat and whole and sourdough and you name it. And they have it freshly baked for you in the store shelves. And it's just for us, for our own enjoyment, right? You know, when's the last time you had a peanut butter jelly sandwich? You know, did we spend the time to think about, you know, all the process that went in and just like how convenient it is? And let's say you wanted to get crazy and you add bananas to it, right? I mean, these bananas had to have been grown, refrigerated, shipped over to your store, and they sell for what, 60, 70 cents a pound? And that's it. And you basically have fresh bananas. And they're saying, like, you know, one of the sad things is because we're not appreciative, because we take these for granted, we lose it. And similarly with the decline in bee population, because all bananas stem from, you know, the same, they're basically clones of one another. There's a virus that's going around that they say is going to eventually eliminate the most common form of a banana that we have today. And it's going to have to be replaced with another kind of banana, meaning that, you know, our children or great grandchildren might not be able to taste the same banana that we're having today. And apparently this wasn't the first time. It happened before in the past, I think in the 1950s. And all this is to show, are we appreciative? You know, are we appreciative for God's blessings? And to really, I mean, think about this deeply. You know, how many people, they use a cell phone, right? I think at this time, there's more cell phones in the world than the human population of 7 billion. And, you know, most of these are being upgraded to smartphones, where, you know, anyone anywhere in the world can have internet access. And, you know, did you think about the process that goes into making a cell phone, a smartphone, right? The cellular towers, the radio transmission, the fact that you can store so much energy in a tiny little battery, the application processor, the silicon, right? You think about, this is silicon that's in the nanometers, right? That's 1/1,000,000,000th of a meter, the precision that's around. So we can make the silicon chips that go inside the cell phones, that we can have this technology. They say the iPhone had more processing power than all the computers that were used during the 1969 moon landing. That's insane. And this is something that the average, you know, like 5-year-old carries in their pocket to play games, right? They download these games. And it's something for us, again, to be absolutely appreciative that each time we get a phone call, right? Or you do FaceTime, you do Skype, you're on your computer, you're using the internet, that we're absolutely appreciative for everything that God has given us. Now, think of this, you know, we come into this world and we're surrounded by all this fascinating technology, right? And we don't think that's weird, that there's cell phones, there's radio transmission, there's television, you know, there's civil rights. I mean, even the concept that there's, you know, laws, and it's not an absolute chaos. There's an education system, right? All conveniently given to us. It's something that we should always be appreciative for. You know, as human beings, we fall into habituation. We see this as the norm. And we think that, oh, this is what life is like. Of course, I got a car. I can go drive anywhere I want. Oh, it's, you know, 1,000 miles away. That's fine. I have an unlimited amount of stops where I can go and get more energy and put in my car so I can go to the next stop. And, oh, I'm hungry? Oh, well, there's people who set up, you know, diners and restaurants and everything along the way. And, oh, you got a flat tire? Don't worry. You know, there's services that will come to your car, replace that flat tire. And if it's serious, they'll go and drive you to where you need to go. And, oh, you need a place to stay? Hotels along the entire way, right? We take this stuff for granted, but we never should. And we should always, you know, just be appreciative and happy and feel so blessed for all this that God has given us, right? That God created the system by which, you know, we work and we also serve. And by doing the symbiotic relationship, right, this entire process continues and it gets better. And in chapter 2, verse 269, it reads, in the header it says, wisdom, a great treasure. It reads, he bestows wisdom upon whomever he chooses, and whoever attains wisdom has attained a great bounty. Only those who possess intelligence will take heed, right? You think of this. The intelligence, right? The fact that we're comprehending, you know, I'm not even looking at the origins of, you know, the planets, the stars, the universe. I'm just talking about like the origins of that pillow that you lay your head on, right? That someone had to go manufacture that for you. They've tested it, right? They probably have an R&D team that's specializing to make the optimal pillow so you can have a comfortable night rest. This is absolutely amazing. And it's such a blessing from God. Can you imagine if everyone had to make their own bed and their own pillow, right? How much worse, how much grumpier we'd be as a society, right? As opposed to having experts who dedicate their life, right, generations to perfecting this technology so we can all be better off. You know, and it's amazing. I mean, this system that not only are we the kings and queens, but we're also the servants in this ecosystem. So in chapter 45, verse 12, it reads, God is the one who committed the sea in your service so that the ships can roam it in accordance with his laws. You thus seek his provisions that you may be appreciative. He committed in your service everything in the heavens and the earth, all from him. These are the proofs for people who reflect. Right? So, this is a system that God has us go and seek his provisions so we'll be appreciative. Similarly, we're serving one another here on this earth by giving ourselves purpose and making the lives of others better. Now, you think of your day-to-day job. I don't know, you know, are you a doctor, a receptionist, an engineer, a auto mechanic, you name it, right? Not only are you basically, you're getting income for this, where you can go and splurge and get all these luxuries, but you're also serving a purpose for that person on the other end that you're supporting. By working, we are aiding in the process of being appreciative. You think of this, when someone has everything, right? We see this stereotypical example of the poster child, of the, you know, the person who's born, they say, with the silver spoon in their mouth. And they're typically some of the most, not all, but some of the most unappreciative people because they don't know what it's like to not have that, right? Now, I'm not saying, you know, strip yourselves and go live in poverty. All it takes is the awareness of realizing that, look, this is a blessing. This is something to be absolutely appreciative for. So, you know, think of all the tasks that we think that are so remedial. The developers, right? Someone had to go and, you know, design your home. They had to go and source the materials and do the architecture and get the permits and the zoning and, you know, lay out the foundation in a proper way and make sure the plumbing works and there's no leaks and tie it to the main lines. You know, think about the banker, and bankers get such a bad rap. But, you know, in essence, they're running a financial system that, yes, it could be improved. There's a lot of graft and stuff in that, but nevertheless, it's the fact that I can go to any restaurant anywhere in the world, I slap down a piece of plastic, and they will accept that, and the bank takes care of the transfer fees. You know, think of the mechanics. You have a problem with your car, there's a specialist, right, that can take care of it for you, source the parts, install it, and you know, they get it done in 10, 15 minutes, maybe a day or two. Imagine if you had to go and do this yourself. You had to go and learn this yourself each time you had a problem. You know, and you think about you're at a restaurant and someone's serving you, right? They're bringing the food out. They're getting you drinks. They're making sure you're taken care of. And I realized that I have friends that were waiters and waitresses that they tipped more. And it's because they realize the work and they appreciate the work that that person is putting into it to make sure that you have a good meal. You know, but we didn't want to serve. We had too much ego. And we talked about in the past about serving willingly or unwillingly. And the thing is, when we serve, again, it's absolutely essential to our appreciation. It's because we know what it's like to be on the other end. And by knowing what it's like, to know the process by which, you know, these trivial tasks that, that, you know, or I shouldn't call them trivial, what appears to be trivial tasks that we endure as customers, we realize there's someone on the other end who's making it happen, that's giving us these benefits, these luxuries. And when we serve, we're completing that cycle. So it makes us very appreciative. And we should constantly ask ourselves, you know, how can I serve? What is my purpose? How can I make, you know, my task, my job better? Because you value what it is you're doing. Even though the person at the other end might not, you realize that you're playing such a critical role in this entire ecosystem. And there's a beautiful example in chapter 28, verse 22 through 25, and it's in regards to Moses. And this is after Moses flees Egypt. It starts in Midian. As he traveled towards Midian, he said, "May my Lord guide me in the right path." When he reached Midian's water, he found the crowd of people watering and noticed two women waiting on the side. He said, so this is Moses, "What is it that you need?" It's very critical. It says, "What is it that you need?" They said, "We are not able to water until the crowd disperses and our father is an old man." He watered for them, then turned to the shade, saying, "My Lord, whatever provision you send to me, I am in dire need of it." Soon, one of the two women approached him shyly and said, "My father invites you to pay you for watering for us." When he met him, he told him his story. He said, "Have no fear, you have been saved from the oppressive people." Now think of this, you know, Moses traveling through the desert, and he's, you know, he's malnourished at this time. He's probably thirsty. And as opposed to going and saying, "Hey, give me something," he goes to these two women and asks, "How can I serve? You know, what can I do for you? What do you need?" Right? And then he goes to God and says, "God, whatever you provide for me, I'm in dire need of it." Right? He's showing his appreciation for God. And what does God respond with him? Not only does God give him shelter, he gives him food, water, a wife, and a family eventually, all from this one incident. Now you think of this. He reaches out and basically provides his services for someone else, expecting nothing in return from them. And you see how God rewards him back. In chapter 43, verse 32, it reads, "Are they the ones who assign your Lord's mercy? We have assigned their shares in this life, raising some of them above others in ranks in order to let them serve one another. The mercy from your Lord is far better than any material they may hoard." So this is God's system. God's system is, yes, there's going to be a rich class, there's going to be a poor class, there's going to be a middle class, and we're all going to serve one another. Because it's a blessing to be able to serve one another, because it increases our appreciation. It increases our thankfulness for God. And it's not something to be taken light of, you know. We realize that, you know, when someone is serving someone else, it's sometimes the most fulfilling task that you can give that person, because they see the fruits of their labor and they see how they're benefiting society. And it should be absolutely critical that, you know, as members of society, we're seeing how can we serve? How can we, help out charity? How can we help out at work? Because we realize that we're not getting the rewards back necessarily from that task, which that is part of the system, but God rewards us back, because by doing the work, putting the time, it makes us appreciative. God willing, we're going to stop there. There's so much more that can be talked about in this topic. Inshallah, we'll continue on this path and learn more and constantly be in a state of appreciation and awe. And I just want to end with one verse. It's in chapter 2, I believe 269. Let's see if I can find it. Almost there. The example, so this is 2261. It says, "The example of those who spend their monies in the cause of God is that of a grain that produces 7 spikes, with 100 grains in each spike. God multiplies this manifold for whomever he wills. God is bounteous knower." And in 2245 reads, "Who would lend God a loan of righteousness to have it repaid for them, multiplied manifold? God is the one who provides and withholds, and to him you will be returned." So until next time, peace and God bless. Inshallah, continue to grow our souls, worship God, and be appreciative. As-salamu alaykum.